Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Kuf. We left off in Daf Tzaditas and Beis. We are at Tanur Rabbanan, Asara Ein Cholkalem Trum Beis Agranos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the end of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by the Lightman family for Rafur Shalema, for Esther Basara, Shishvav Rafur Shalema, Besoch Shar, Chole Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first, the Bryce is going to tell us, Asara in Cholkalem Trum Beis Agranos, the 10 people who we do not distribute Truma to, 10 categories of people who we do not distribute Truma to at the Beis Agranos. And in that context, the Gemara is going to talk about distributing Truma to a woman, and particularly we're going to talk about whether a woman has Kedima over a man when there's something that could be given to either one. What about when it comes to Maaser Ani, when it comes to Tzedakah type of things? Does a woman have Kedima? Does a woman take precedence over a man? Then the Gemara is going to talk about the Karban Mincha of someone who's a Suffolk Kohen and Suffolk Eved. And the question is going to be how we handle this Karban Mincha, both in terms of Kmitza as well as in terms of the Achila of the Shirayim. And we'll discuss why that would make a difference. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to have another case of a Suffolk Ben Shiva, of a child who's a Suffolk. This time, Suffolk Ben Shiva La'achron or Ben Tisha L'Rishon, that a woman got married within 3 months from a previous marriage, which she's not allowed to do, but she did anyway, and then she had a baby 7 months later, and we're not sure if this baby is a product of an abbreviated pregnancy from the second husband or a full-length pregnancy from the first husband. So how do we handle that suffix in general, and particularly if one of them is a Kohen? If one of the husbands is a Kohen, how do we handle his kuhuna? So most of what we're going to say about the suffix Kohen, we've already discussed, because we've already discussed the case of a person who we're not sure whether he's a Kohen or not. Then the Gemara is going to have five different possibilities of, in the case in our Mishnah, what exactly happened with the first husband, meaning how did the first husband die? Did they get divorced? We're going to have five different possibilities what exactly happened with the first husband in the case of our Mishnah. So let's begin. We're at Tan Rabbanan on Saditesen Beis. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Asare in Cholkalam Chumen Beis Agranos. There are 10 categories of people that we do not distribute Truma to on the threshing floor at the Beis Agranos when we're dealing with the grain. The Eluhain, and they are Cherish, Shotav, Katan, Tumtum, Androgynous, Va'eved, Va'isha, Va'aril, Va'atame, V'nosei Isha, She'ena Hogeneslo. Those are the 10 categories. I'm not going to translate them. We'll get to the reasons for each of them. V'kulan mishragin l'batayim. But in all cases, it's only at the Beis HaGranos that you do not distribute the truma to them, but you would send it to their homes, chutz mitame v'nosei Isha, She'ena Hogeneslo. Except for the case of a person who's tame and someone who's nosei Isha, She'ena Hogeneslo, a Kohen who was married to a Grusha, so he doesn't get to have truma sent to his home, right? Eino Hogenes, Rashi points out, means psula l'kuna. He married someone who's pasul l'kuna. And when we say mishagin l'batayin, the Rashi points out va'ochlin, and therefore they can eat truma where they are in their home. Va'aral shasul echol machul nasha va'avadav. I what about an aral? An aral is not allowed to eat truma. How could it be that we're mishagin l'batayin? We're going to send him truma. He's not allowed to eat it. No, but he's still coming, so he could feed it to his nashim. He could feed it to his wives or to his avadim. So the household members of his household are allowed to eat it. So we're just not going to distribute it to Bebeis HaGranos, but we will send it to his home. The only people we won't even send it to their home are a person who's Tameh and a person who's Nosei Isha She'ena Hogeneslo. That's the Braisa. Now, there are a lot of explanations given by Achronim how Cherishot V'Katim could be Zoch of Matlus Kuhuna, that there are Meshagil Bateim. The Prichadash writes that since there's Das Acheres Makna, that are Makna them the Matlus Kuhuna, so the Cherishot V'Katim are able to be Zoch, they're able to be Kona, and therefore the Nosein is Yotzei, the Mitzvah of Nesina. Meaning the Cherishot V'Katim, even though in a Chinami, he doesn't have Das to be Kona generally, but even someone who doesn't have Das to be Kona, if you have a Das Acheres Makna, if you have someone that's Makna to him, then he can be Kona, and therefore Meshagil Bateim is going to work as your mitzvahs nesina when you send to Cherishot V'Katan. But the Archonim wonder about this Prichadash. How could you be Meshagam a Truma to a Shota who does not have Zechia idea, even with Das Acheres Makna, meaning that's true, the idea of Das Acheres Makna, that they can make a kinyan, is true of a katan, but it's not true of a shota. So in the Ketzos HaChoshen, Simon Reish Mem Gimel, he asks that it's not Shaykh Matnus Kuna, by Matnus Kuna you can't have Das Acheres Makna, because we pass in Tovas Hanoa Eina Mamon, and the Bailim has no, doesn't have any ownership of the Matanos, because all he owns in the Matanos is Tovas Hanoa. He's not allowed to keep the Truma, he has to give it to the Kohen. So if he doesn't have the real ownership of it, the Kohen is Zocha in the Matanos Me'atzmo. So you can't say Das Acheres Makna unless the person that's being Makna is the real owner of it. But you're not, the Yisrael is not the real owner of the Truma, so how can you say Das Acheres Makna? It's like a Metzia that he's Zocha and doesn't have a Das Acheres Makna to him, where the Allah is Cherishot V'Katan, Mido Uraisa, cannot be Kone Metzia. The only reason we allow Cherishot V'Katan to be Kone Metzia is Mishum Darke Shalom. We don't want someone to go take it away from him and then cause a whole fight. But Mido Uraisa, he doesn't have the capacity to be Kone. So that's why a number of the Achronim, including the Ketzos, are not thrilled with the Prichadish's approach. So the Ketzos suggests that Matnas Kuna is Mamon HaKohanim, so the Torah was already Zoche it to the Kohanim in exchange for their Avoda. And even Kohanim that are Pasla Avoda have this Zechia that they don't have to have a technical ability to be Kona, because there's a Kinyan that the Torah already made for them. Tulsus writes in Mesech Sanhedrin of Samaches that Maisa Yidei HaKatan from the Malacha and the Scharet Yircha that he does belong to him Midoraisa, because it's his, and he's Zoche in what the Balabais gives to him, and therefore we could send Truma to the homes of the Cherishot of Katan, and they will be Zocha and these Matnas Kuna, since it's Magia Lahem as Chirus for the Avoda. So the Matnas Kuna already belongs to them. So that's approach number two. So approach number one is the Pri Chadash. How is it that Cherishot of Katan in Shagel LeBateim? How could it be Kona anyway? So approach number one is Pri Chadash. Das Acheres Makna. We're being Makna to them. Says Ketzos, no, there's no Das Acheres Makna because we're not the owners. We can't be Makna to them. No, it's rather that the Torah is Makna to them, and that's what makes them the rightful owners. In the Nesivos, he says, the Nesivos HaMishpat in the same spot where that Ketzos is, in Siman Reish Mem Gimel, the Nesivos writes that which we are Meshagar Truma Lebateim is because there is no mitzvah that the Bailim have of Nesina of Matnas Kuna to a Kohen. The Torah is Mezaka to the Bailim, the Tovas Hana'a, that they're the ones that are able to choose which Kohen he gives it to. And therefore, they can give it to a Cherishot V'Katan, because you don't need to be Mezakeh to a Kohen. He can take it on his own. Even a Cherishot V'Katan is able to take it. Meaning that simply that there is no din that you have to give it to a Kohen. It's just a heter, so to speak, that the guy who's Truma, the person who has the Truma, has the right to choose which Kohen to give it to. But you don't need to be Mezakeh to them. Problem is, they point out that in the Ramban, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvah Yud Beis says not that way. He says that there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah by Truma, there's a mitzvah Hafrasha, and there's a mitzvah Nesina. So to deny the existence of a mitzvah Nesina is very, very difficult. Anyway, that's the third approach of the Nesivos. So now let's go through, the Gemara is going to go through explaining why each of these 10 people are not able to get Truma Bebeis HaGranos. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Cherishot V'Katan La B'nei Deya Ninu. I understand Cherishot V'Katan, they're not B'nei Deya, and Rashi therefore adds, and Zizilusa de Truma L'Chalik Len Bogorin La'in Kol. So therefore it's disrespectful to the Truma to give to people who have no Das in front of everybody that you're providing them with Truma. So it's disrespectful to the Kedusha of the Truma, to Bizayun to the Truma. Tumtum Van Droganis Nami Beria B'fnei Atzman Ninu. And I understand why you're not going to give to Tumtum Van Droganis. That's also Zilusa the Truma, because they're a Beria B'fnei Atzma, they're this unusual creation, and therefore that's also Zilusa to the Truma. The Ashrus Yaakov raises the question, they're both a Beria B'fnei Atzma? That's not true. An Androgynous is a Beria B'fnei Atzma. Tumtum, some of them are Zecharim and some of them are Nekevos. We're just unable to tell, so because there's no external sign of whether they're Zachar or Nekevos. How can you say that that's a Beria B'fnei Atzma? So he says, no, Lav Dafka Tumtum, when we say say Beri B'Atzmo, we really are explaining androgynous. We just mentioned Tumtum together with androgynous. Aye, but Tumtum was one of the 10 people on the list, so what do you do about the fact that we don't give to a Tumtum? He says that's because he's a Suffolk Arel, meaning the Tumtum might be male. And if he's male, he's an Arel, because he doesn't have a Bris Mila. So anytime you have someone who's a Suffolk Arel, then you're not going to give Truma B'Beis HaGranos. The Tshuvas Binyan Tzion also wonders that Tumtum is a Suffolk Isha, and the Beri B'Fnei Atzma is only about an androgynous, not about a Tumtum. So the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, HaChadoshos, and Simon Tzadi Dalid, says that you can't say that the reason we're not Cholik Truma to a Tumtum is because it's a Suffolk Isha, because the reason that we said by an Isha are not Shaykh to a Tumtum, meaning we're about to go through why it is that you don't give to an Isha. So we say, oh, because of Chashash Yichud that you're going to have with the Isha, because by the Beis HaGranos, maybe there's nobody else there except for the person giving and the person collecting, so it's a chashash yichud, or that maybe she's really a grusha, and we just don't know, meaning maybe she was married to a kohen, is no longer married to a kohen, and we're going to give to her. Those are the reasons the Gemara is about to mention for an isha. None of those things apply to a tumtum. There's no chashash yichud. It's interesting that Binyan Tzion says there's no chashash yichud with the tumtum, because yichud is only a siyag for bia, and if you can't have bia, because there's no external genitalia that you can. So it's not shayich to have a meisa bia with the tumtum. So therefore, you don't have to be choshesh for yichud. And as far as grusha, you also tumtum can't get married, and therefore you're not going to have that concern either. So since it's suffik ish, suffik isha, that himself makes it a beri b'fnei atzma, in that he's not like an ish or an isha. That's what the Binyan Tzion says. That as far as he's not an ish or an isha. As far as this halacha is concerned, because he's unique and he's different, and that's still the zilusa. Meaning the point is that in a chinami, sometimes you could be korea the tumtum, they could do a surgery, and they could discover whether he's an ish or an isha. So in mitzius, he's one or the other. In reality, he's either a man or a woman. But as far as the zilusa, the truma, so the, for that, he's considered like a beri b'fnei atzma. So says the Binyan Tzion. But it's not because he's a suffik isha, and we don't give to an Isha. And that's why the Asher Yaakov didn't say that either. The Asher Yaakov said he's a Suffolk Arel, and we don't give to an Arel, but not because of Suffolk Isha. So the Gemara continues, Eved Nami, Dilmasi Lasakim Shum Eliyuchsin. I also understand why you're not going to give to an Eved, because someone sees the Eved collecting Truma by the Beis HaGranos, and they're going to assume he's a Miyuchas. They're going to assume that he's a Kohen. Arel the Tame Mishum Demi Isi. An Arel and a Tame person, that's Ma'us. That's, it's disgusting to give truma to such people in public. No se isha she'eno geneslo mishum knasa. If it's Cohen who decided that he's going to marry a grusha, so then he deserves a knas. He deserves to be punished for doing so. So long as he's married to a grusha, we're not going to give him truma b'beis agronos, or anywhere for that matter, because that was one of the people that we won't even send him truma. El isha maita elo. But why is it that a woman can't collect truma by the beis agronos? Mrs. Cohen, right? She's married to a Kohen. Why can't she go and collect Shuma by the Beis HaGranos? So this is the two things we referred to before. Pligi by Rav Papa, Rav Hunan ben Rav Yeshua. That is a machlokas. Rav Papa, Rav Hunan ben Rav Yeshua. Chadam Mishum Grusha. One opinion says, because we're concerned that maybe we thought she was Mrs. Cohen, but she has since got divorced and we don't know about that, and we just haven't heard about it yet, so we don't want to give to her because maybe she's not married to a Kohen anymore. V'chadam Mishum Yuchud. And the other one says, no, it's a more fundamental problem that just giving a woman truma beis agranos is a shaili in yichud, that you may be in violation of an issa yichud, because it could be that it's only you and her that are by the beis agranos. So my benai, what would be the nafkamina between them? Ike benai be dari de mikrav lemasa v'lo shchichi buinchi inami de merchak ushchichi buinchi. Nafkamina could go in two directions. So if you live right near the town, so everyone would have found out if she's a grusha or not. It's not going to be that you're not going to know if she's a grusha. If you live at some distance, so then you may not know whether she's a grusha. Yichud will depend on how high traffic in the area it is. Is it a place that's shchichi ba'inchi or not shchichi ba'inchi? Is it a place where it's a high traffic area, then it's not going to be yichud? A low traffic area is going to be yichud. So those are the two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one between these two reasons is is that it's close to the muscle, it's close to the town, so you don't have to be choshish that she's a grusha. You would have known about it, but it's lo shchichi b'uinchi. There are no people around, and therefore you do have to be concerned about yichud. Or the other nafkamina is the reverse. It's far from the town, so you have to be concerned that she might be a grusha, but it's a place that is very populated, and therefore you do not have to worry that maybe that there's going to be an isser yichud. The Rambam writes that in Hilchos Shumos Parakid Beis Halachav Beis that isha in cholkin la chum beis agranos shema tiskareish umepnei ayichud, that he throws both in there. He says maybe she's divorced and because of yichud. So Mishnah Melech explains that the Rambam is passing both reasons because he thinks we have to be choshesh for both of them, meaning these are nafkaminas, but they're not. These two reasons are not mutually exclusive of each other. It's not that if you hold one that the other one doesn't make sense. They could both make sense, and therefore in both cases of nafkamina we're going to have to be machmir, and that's what the Marie Korkus explains as well, that we have to be choshesh for both of the reasons, at least misafek. And he says that it could be by Chumah d'Rabbanan will be makil unless you have both reasons, and it could be even b'daraisa you need both reasons. Meaning the other way to say it is that not to be machmir misafek, but maybe we get to be makil misafek, and unless you have both, because I'm not sure which is the real reason, maybe until I have both reasons I'm allowed to be makil, until I know that it's both the problem of yichud and the problem of maybe she's a grusha, maybe I can be makil. So that's the discussion in what the Rama means by that when he quotes both reasons. Is he saying one or the other, or is he saying that you need both in order for it to be an issue? It's also interesting that the Gemara says that the reason in Arel is because he's honest. We're about to get to that. So says Maravakul Mashagalan Batayan. We send all ten of these cases, with only two exceptions, we could send the truma to their house, chutz b'tamei v'nosi isha she'eno genaslo, except for a person who's tamei and someone who married an isha she'eno genaslo. Aval arel mishagrinanle. But an arel we will send to his house. My time. Well, why will I send it to an arel? Misham da honest, because he's an honest. It's not his fault that he's an arel. Now Rashi holds that whenever we say arel, that an arel is not letting truma, an arel always means mesuach of machmas mila. It means that he has there is hemophilia in the family, and therefore he has to be choshesh that he has some sort of blood disease that would make it dangerous for him to get a mila, and that's why he doesn't have a mila. If that is correct, then it makes a lot of sense that our Gemara refers to an arel as an onus. He would love to have a mila, but he's unable to have a mila because it's dangerous. However, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam pretty consistently throughout Shas is that an arel that is mesuach machmas mila is actually allowed to eat truma because he has no mitzvah smila, and therefore he doesn't have a din arel. And whenever we say an arel is not allowed to eat truma, we're talking about an arel that's a meshumah the arelus, that's not interested in getting a bris mila, and chose not to get a bris mila. So Tos Rabbeinu Peretz points out that our sugya is a big raya to Shitas Rashi, because the Gemara calls him an anus. Now, if you're going to teach up arel, the kind of arel who can't eat truma, like Rabbeinu Tam does, that an arel always just means a person who doesn't want to have a bris mila, how can you call that an anus? So that's the raya that Rabbeinu Peretz brings against Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. It could be that there's another girsa in the Gemara. Some of the Achronim point out that the Tosus maybe doesn't have a girsa in the Gemara over here, that an oral is an anus. It could be that that's how Rabbeinu Tam will deal with our Gemara by not dealing with our Gemara, by saying that our Gemara doesn't exist as we have it. Now the Rambam writes that we don't give truma to someone who's nosi ishe no genislo, nor to a tamei or to an aral. He says ein mishagrin to an isa, someone who marries an ishe no genislo, or a tamei or an aral, which is curious because in our Gemara we said of the ten people on the list there are only two that were ein mishagrin lebateihem, the nosi ishe no genislo and the tamei, but the aral we are mishager lebeso. So it's against our Gemara. So the Mefarshim say that the Rambam must have had a different girsa than the Gemara, and he was not gores that he was gores on the list of exceptions an aral as well. And the reason where the Rambam will say that we're Ein Meshagrin La'arul Tame is because they're Me'isi and they're Ma'us, and that would be enough of a reason not even to be Lo Meshagrin L'Bateim, even not to send to their homes. Now we said Isha Sheino Geneslo, it's a Knas, that we're punishing him for marrying an Isha Sheino Geneslo. So the Yamshel Shlomo writes, we punish him until he divorces her. That's when the punishment ends, meaning it's a Knas with a goal in mind. It's meant to encourage him to divorce. Kobe's married to a Grusha. The happy ending is if they get divorced. So we're hoping to achieve that goal. And then Harash Ragli says, based on what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, in Siman Kuf Chav Ches and Aruch Chaim, in the name of the Rashba, that a Kohen who marries a Grusha, we're not knowing about Kedusha, until he's Noder Hanoa Al Das Rabim, from women that are usher to him, maybe that's what we need. Not only that he divorces his Grusha wife, but he has to, we need some sort of guarantee that he's not going to marry another one. We need some sort of guarantee that this is not going to repeat itself. So he has to take a neder al das rabim that he's not going to be that he's not going to marry another woman that's psula to him. So that's machlokas. How far? At what point does that kenas end? Says Mar tame nami ha anis. But wait a second, isn't a tame person also an anis? So says Mar hay nafishun say vay lo nafishun say. Not as big of an anis as an arel, meaning an arel really couldn't do anything about it, but a tame could have been a little more careful and not become tame. So he's not as much of an anis. We're not going to distribute truma to them by the Beis HaGranos, but wherever we do distribute, we'd make sure to take care of the women first. So Micah Amar, what do you mean? We just said we're not going to distribute to them. So what do you mean when we do distribute, we can give to the women first? If we're not distributing, so it's not so chivalrous of us to say, and when we do, but when we do is never. So Hachi Kamar, no, what we mean says as follows, that b'makom shecholkin in a situation where b'makom shecholkin ma'aser ani nosan lishtchila. You can take out the words b'makom shecholkin, the Bach does, but ma'aser ani, meaning in situations where we do distribute to a woman, meaning non-truma, but ma'aser ani, which does get distributed to a woman, so you take care of the woman before you give to men. Ma'aser ani is mischalik b'toch habayis, it's mischalik in the city, so you don't have to worry about yichud, you know, there's always shechichi and she, so the concerns and you certainly don't have to worry about divorce, because it's irrelevant to Ma'aser Ani. If she's poor, she qualifies. It's irrelevant whether she's married to a Kohen or not married to a Kohen. It's not about Kohuna when it comes to Ma'aser Ani. So neither of the reasons that apply to not giving an Isha Truma apply to Ma'aser Ani. So Ma'aser Ani, a woman is fully entitled to, and you give her first. My Taima, why do you give the woman first? Mishum Zilusa. Because it is it's more embarrassing for a woman to have to stand there online collecting than it is for a man. So you take care of the women first. So Amar Rava Mireisha Kevos Gavravitz Ladina, that initially when a man and a woman would come for a dintora kamai in front of me, have a sharina tigra de gavravresha, I mean the mechayv b'mitzvos. He said I used to always have the practice that I would take care of the man's case before the woman's case, because again, man's case before the woman's case, meaning it's two men in a dintora with each other, as opposed to another case that was two women in a dintora with each other. If it's a man and a woman in a dintora with each other, then it's irrelevant, meaning that. So, but I would take care of a case involving men before a case involving women, because I figured more respect to men because they're chayiv in more mitzvos. But given the shemana laha sharina tigra diitzabresha. But once I heard this teaching that you have to that if it's a bigger zilusa for women, it's more embarrassing for women and it's more degrading for women to have to wait online. So I would always take care of women first. My time mishum zilusa, because of that same concern of zilusa that I don't want that the woman should have to suffer that zilusa. So the Ritva writes in the name of the Ra'ah that din of the zilusa of the woman is a more powerful point only when that person, the man, is not a Talmud Chacham. But if the man is a Talmud Chacham, the zilusa of a Talmud Chacham is going to be a bigger factor, meaning when it's just Stam, a man and a woman. So the fact that zilusa de'isha overrides the fact that he's chayiv in more mitzvos. But when the man is a Talmud Chacham, his zilusa overrides the zilusa de'isha. And he also says that even if he's Nama Aretz, the woman comes first only when they didn't already start the case of the ish. But if you've already started the case of the ish, you don't stop it in the middle in order to do it. He's dealing with a case where they both came at the same time, and you get to choose which case gets heard first. In the Gemara, we see very clearly that when it comes to Maaser Ani, it goes to a woman first. So there was a Maisa that's dealt with in the poskim of a Gabbai Tzedakah that received a large sum of money to be Mechalik to Tzedakah, and he asked the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, should he give it to Yisomim? It was meant to marry off Yisomim. So should he give it to Yisomim to marry them off, or Yisomos, meaning which one should come first? Male or female Yisomim? And the Nidon is that on the one hand, Yisomos are Kodmos, like our Gemara says, but on the other hand, an Ish is Mitzuvah Piri Verivya, meaning it's not just that there are more mitzvos than a man has. That wouldn't matter, because our Gemara explicitly said the Zilusa Deisha overrides more mitzvos. But particularly when it comes to marrying them off, where what we're trying to achieve is Piri Verivya, so that a man is Mechuyiv in Puravu, a woman is not Mechuyiv in Puravu. So maybe therefore Yisomim should take precedence over Yisomos. And Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei and some Reish Bem Tes, he passes that a Gabbai Tzedakah that has money should marry off Besulos Anios She'ein Tzedakah G'dol Mizeh, that there's no bigger Tzedakah than Besulos Anios, than marrying off than Hachnasas Kala for young girls who are poor. And the Shach says that in Shuvas Ram Al Shakir, he says Dafka Yisomos, that it's Dafka female Yisomim that you're makdim. But in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, in Simkuf and Gimel, he paskins that Yisela Beis HaKnesses and any Dover Shebekdusha, even a Sefer Torah, in order to provide for Talmidim or to marry off Yisomim with the money, with the proceeds that you're going to get from selling a Sefer Torah. And the Magen Avraham and all the Nosei Kalim say, yeah, you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to marry off Yisomim. Are you allowed to do that for Yisomos as well? Which the very discussion implies that Yisomim take precedence over Yisomos. And that's what it sounds from the Mishnah Berurah over there, because Mishnah Berurah says, Va'afilu Yisomos. Because even though a woman is not mitzvah b'piri v'rivya, but l'shevis yitzara, there's some sort of mitzvah for her to have children as well, although it may not be the technical mitzvah of puravu, but it is a mitzvah, and therefore afilu Yisomos. So you see that in that sense, in that halacha, it seems that Yisomim override Yisomos. However, the Eliyahu Rabbah over there in Aruch Chaim writes that a Yisoma takes Kedima over a Yasom, and he brings a Raya from what the Gemara says in Ksubas of Samach Zayin, that we have in Yasom and Yisoma, we're Masiyin as a Yisoma first, and then the Yasom, because Bushas Muruba Mishal Ish, that she has a greater sense of Busha. The Chassam Sofer rejects the Raya, and he says that that's only the Inyan Kedima that a Yisoma's Kodemes. But when it's one or the other, then you're not going to be Docha the Yasom entirely. Meaning our Gemara, our old Sugya, is you're going to take care of both of them. You're going to hear two cases, the one with the man, the one with the woman. So you listen to the woman's case first, because you'll eventually get to the man's case. But when it comes to a choice of one or the other, so maybe the fact that the Yasom is Mitzuvah and Puruvu is going to override. The Aruch HaShulch and Yerudeus and Reish and Aleph writes that if Yasom and Yisoma come to get married, we're Makdim in the Yisoma, even though Ish is Mitzuvah and Puruvu and Isha is not. But Linyan Lahaktim, the Yisoma comes first. And he says, and if you don't have enough money, then the Yasom comes first. So exactly this conclusion. That's how you reconcile the two sugyas. So weiter in the Gemara now. So said, we're at the two dots. Higdilu atarovus. We then said that if these children are mixed up with each other, grow up, so they're meshachre, they could be meshachre each other. So it sounds like shichru yibayin ilo bayilo, that are meshachre each other. If they are meshachre each other, we go through what the halach is. Sounds like that's an option, that if they want to, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But wait a second. Right now, the person is a suffik kohen, suffik eved, and we said there's nobody he can marry. Only if they're meshachre each other, and he's a suffik kohen, suffik Yisrael, then he'll have who to marry. So why is that an option to be meshachar each other? Lisa shivcha eni yachal, baschorin eni yachal. He's not able to get married unless they're meshachar each other. So doesn't that make it mandatory? Doesn't that make it obligatory that they should be meshachar each other? Shouldn't that be something that you have to do? The Gemara says that when you have a suffik, when you have a chatzi yevid v'chatzi ben chorin, the Mishnah Masech Zadiel, it appears many places in Shas, Masech Skit, Masech Ksuvos, you have a chatzi yevid v'chatzi ben chorin. So we forced the remaining master to free him, because Lisa Shivchei in the Yachal, Lisa Baskorin in the Yachal, you can't leave a person with the inability to get married. So shouldn't we be forcing them to be Meshachar each other so that they can get married? So Rava Ema Kofra, so Meshachar says that. Rava says, that's what it means to say, that we force them to be Meshachar each other. So Lemayil, so what does it mean we give them the chumras of both? So Amar Papa Liminchasam for a carbon mincha. If you have a Safik Eved, Safik Kohen, he has both chumras for a carbon mincha. Nikmetzas Kaminchas Yisrael. You do a kmitza like you would on a mincha of Yisrael, which you don't do by a mincha of a Kohen. Mincha of a Kohen, you don't need to take a kmitza because it's kula kalil. It gets burnt entirely on the mizbeach. There's no shirayim that gets eaten. Whereas a mincha of Yisrael, you take a kmitza and the shirayim gets eaten. But vein in echel is kminchas kohanim. But his mincha is not going to get eaten because he might be a kohen, and therefore it's treated like a minchas kohen l'chumra. Okay, so what do you do with it? Hakomitz karev ba'atzmo v'ashreim kraven ba'atzman. You take a kmitza and then you burn both parts. You burn the komets and you burn the shirayim. So ikri kan kol shemen liishim harev balta taktiru. But wait, and whenever there's a kmitza, the shirayim, there's an isser. You're not allowed to burn the shirayim. So it's the only reason you can burn a kohen's entire karev minchas is because you don't take a kmitza. But if you're going to take a kmitza, you can't just burn the shirayim. It's an iser. Some of the brim shum and pazi, the maskul shum eitzim. No, you burn it bitoras eitzim. Krablazer, the tiny Krablazer Omer, the reach nichoch, yatamal lushum eitzim. You're not allowed to bring it as a reach nichoch, but you're allowed to burn it bitoras eitzim. You could treat it as if it's nothing more than wood. So hanichal the Rabbi Elazar, that works if you sum like Krablazer, the Rabbanim Michael the Meimar. But if you say like the Rabbanim, then what are you going to say? So David Krablazer Rabbi Shimon. We do like Krablazer Rabbi Shimon. The tiny Krablazer that you bring the kmitza and the shirayim are spread out on the Beis HaDeshen, and that's where they get burnt. And even the Rabbanu who disagree with the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon only disagree by a minchas chotei of kohanim, which should be brought on the mizbeach. But in this case, where you have this carbon mincha of a safek kohen, safek evet, you have no other choice, so they're going to be mode that you bring it on the base of the Okay, new Mishnah. A woman did not wait 3 months after no longer being married to her first husband, and she goes and marries someone else within 3 months and gives birth 7 months later. And we don't know if the baby is an abbreviated pregnancy from the second husband or a full length pregnancy from the first husband. She has children from both of them. They could do chalitza, but they cannot do yibum. And also this child that's besafek, if one of his potential brothers from either father dies without any children, he can do chalitza on their wife, but he cannot do yibum because he's not sure that he is in fact their brother. So that he's their brother mina'av. He knows he's their brother mina'aim, that they share the same mother, so he can't do yibum because that's very risky, because it could be marrying his brother's wife if he has brothers from the first husband and the second husband, not from that same mother, so then who choletz miyabim? He could be choletz or miyabim them because mimanav shach. Either it's a mitzvah of yibum, or this person is simply not his, the person that died wasn't his brother at all. They don't share the same father nor the same mother. And they one of them will be chalitz, one of them will be miyabim, because there is a requirement of chalitza in that case. So someone will have to do chalitza, and the other one, once chalitza is done, so there's no chashash of yivam l'shuk, will be miyabim. If one of them was a Yisrael and one of them was a kohen, meaning one of the two men that she was married to was a kohen. No, so now the child is a safek kohen, and therefore all the halachas of a safek kohen that we mentioned yesterday. No, si isharu yil kohen. You can only marry a woman that a kohen is allowed to marry. Vein mitami lemesim. He cannot go to a cemetery. Vein nitvay in a safek asraban. But if he does, you're not going to give him malchus because you don't know that he's a kohen. Ein ochel b'truma. He cannot eat truma. Vein ochel eino b'shalim keren v'chomesh. If he does eat truma, he does not have to pay a keren v'chomesh. We don't provide for him truma by the Beis Agranos. But whatever truma he has on his own, he's allowed to sell to a kohen and keep the money. He doesn't get the oros of kachay kachim. We don't give him kachim. We don't take away from him the kachim that he already has. He's patur from the matnos kuna. And if he has a bechor, let that animal graze until it develops a mum. All these halachas should be familiar to us because we had all of these already previously. And we therefore give him the chumras of both kohanim and yisraelim. Hayushneim kohanim. If both of the husbands were kohanim, who onin aleim v'hem onanim alav? He would be an onin. He would have a dinim of avelus for them and they for him. Who ainu metamilem v'hem ainu metamilo? But he cannot be metame himself to them, nor they to him, because to the either potential father, nor they to him if he dies. Who ainu yorish son of alheim yorshin so? He does not yarshin them, but they would yarshin him. As Rashi points out, the yarsh of matchin so elu etzel elu vein yorshin so demi ma'akev al yadan v'avimam na mutal b'safik v'cholkin ben shneim. Meaning, when you have two potential fathers, they can decide to split the money because one of them is the yorish. It's a safik, which one? So mamna mutal b'safik. So you would say cholkin. But when it comes to him yarshining them, the other yorshim of each father will say, you're not one of us, you're not part of our family, and then it's a motzi mechaver levaraya, he's not going to be able to yarshin. Upatr al makasav al kilosav shalzev shalzev, if he hits or he strikes or curses either one of these fathers, he's patr, because he can't guarantee that it's his father. Olubim mishmar shalzev shalzev einu chalik, he could work in the mishmar of each one, but he cannot get the benefits of working in that mishmar of kuhuna. Imo yishneim v'mishmar echad notel chelik echad, but if they both happen to be in the same mishmar, so then he can get one portion of whatever the kohanim of that mishmar get, because he definitely belongs to that mishmar. Dafka michlat vadu yivume. So we said in the beginning that you have to do chalitza first and then yibum. Avli yivume bereishalo. You can't do yibum first. Dikapagav yivam l'shuk, because this woman is a yivama, and if she's not related to you, then you're just marrying a yivama when you're not the yavam. Amar Shmuel asar kohanim omdim pirushachemem ubaal havlad shtuki. That if you have 10 kohanim and you know that every single one of them is a kohen miyuchas, and you know that one of them impregnated a woman, you just don't know which kohen impregnated a woman, that child is a shtuki. Says more, my shtuki. What do you mean by a shtuki? If you just mean that he's not going to yarshin his father, pshita miyadin anavu amanu. Of course not. We don't know who his father is, so obviously he's not going to yarshin his father. Elishem shasno somidin kohuna. No, it means he doesn't have a din of a kohen. Remarkable. All 10 guys are kohanim miyuchasim. So the only Shaila is, we don't know which one is his father, but we know that his father's a Kohen. Still, he doesn't have a din kuna. My taima, amar krav v'haysalo ulazaru achrav, bina zaru miyuchas achrav alecha. In order to have a din kuna, you need to know who your father is. You need zaru miyuchas achrav. So maskar papa lemeata gabe avram, duchsiv v'yoscha lelukim ulazaracha acharecha, hasa maika masu lerachmana. What do you learn from ulazaracha acharecha in that context by Avram Avinu? Hachikam le lo tinasi v'vedzcham b'shivcha d'leiz ulazar Basra, that you should be careful who you marry, not a Novavedis Chav nor a Shivcha, because then the Zera is going to follow her. So that's what we learn from that Pasuk. So basically, the Gemara challenges, is this really a din? That if he doesn't have Zara Miyuchas Achrav, then he's not a Kohen at all? Rishon royally is Kohen Gadol. We said that the Rishon is able to be a Kohen Gadol, even though he doesn't know who his father is. Vabin and Zara Miyuchas Achrav, Veleka. So it says more, Zara Miyuchas Achrav Drabanon, Vekras Machlab Yalma. We do require Zara Miyuchas Achrav, but that's not a din Doraisa. We quoted a pasuk, yeah, it's an asmachta. V'chigaz Rabbanan, and when the Rabbanan made this gezeira that you require a zara miyuchas achrav, that's only biznus. That's only if there was some sort of a bias nus that happened. But b'nisuin lo gaz Rabbanan, there's no requirement by nisuin if it was a safik ben shiva, safik ben tisha, and they're both kohanim. There's no requirement that you have zara miyuchas achrav because everything was b'nisuin. But if you have 10 guys that are kohanim and one of them was mizana with a woman and had a child, oh, then we're going to require zara. So says more, but wait, ubiznus migazu rabbanan. By znus, do we require zaru miyuchas achrav? In our mishnah, it was a case of znus. How do I know? Vatnan mishlo shas achrav al shosh kodesh minisis v'yolda my achrav bailo. What exactly happened in the case of our mishnah where she was married to one guy? Within 3 months, she got married to a second guy. What happened with the first husband? How did they end that marriage? If it's that the first husband died, well, then not all the halachos that ensue in the Mishnah make sense, because it says that if he dies, either one of the fathers will have avelus for him. Well, I understand how he could be misabel on either one of the fathers, even the one that died already, because you could do a likur atzamos and have a new din of avelus. But how would you ever have a case where either one of the fathers is going to be misabel on him? The first man died. So it can't be that that he died velo begrusha. It must be that she's a grusha. My achra baila, achra get baila. And achra baila means that she got divorced from her husband. Well, I understand that neither of the fathers could be mitami to him. Because either one might not be his son. But why can't he be mitami to them? I understand he's not going to be mitami himself to the second guy. If the first marriage ended in divorce, even if the second guy was a Kohen and he's a son of the second guy, he's a Cholol, because it means that his father married a Grusha. So Mimanavshach Ibrehu Shaprika Matami Lei, that if he's the son of the first guy, so he's allowed to be Matami to his father. Vi Barbasru, and if he's the son of the second guy, Shaprika Matami Lei D'Cholalu, he's allowed to be Matami to him as well, because he's a Cholol. So Elalav Biznus, so it must be that we're talking about a case of Znus. Well, that's what happened. Umaya Chabayla Achar Bawala, the Katani Seifa Olav B'Mishvash Zeh V'Shel Zeh V'Tiyufta D'Shmuel. So the only thing we have left to say is that it was a Bias Nus. She wasn't married to the first guy. It was a Bias Nus, and you still see that he has a din of a Kohen, even though he's the product of a Bias Nus and he's not Miyuchas Achrav. So that's the Raya against Shmuel. But the Gemara Ben Shem will pick up with tomorrow is going to have two other possibilities of how that first marriage might have ended if it was not a real Bias Nus. Okay, have a great day, everybody.